Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being a part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Brian Matamore's here, folks. I'm glad he's here, too. Brian's a great member of our Brain Trust. 6 years now he's been hanging out with us. He's the founder and the president of the Matamore Group. He is the chief idea guy over there, and he is the author of 21 Days to a Big Idea. Also, Idea Stormers, that's just two of his books. Also, 99% Inspiration. I forgot about that one. We helped him launch that one, too. He's our good friend, Brian. Welcome back.
Hey, Jim. Good to see you.
It's good to have
you. And the other company we got to mention is Growth Engine.
There you go. Thank you.
I
was just about to say,
bigger of the two companies.
Go ahead and tell us about it.
Well, Growth Engine, we're an innovation agency, and we've been around for 20 years. Matamore Group was my ideation facilitation company, but the bigger projects we do now is with Growth Engine, and it's been great.
Yeah, I meant to mention that's where he's the chief idea guy there, folks, and
yeah, exactly.
and the lead cost accountant, I think too over there. So, so Brian, you and I are having a little series on innovation. And one of the things I want to tie back what you're saying, I want to tie that what we're going to talk about today into some global research. The Global Entrepreneurship Monitor for 20 years, literally this year, 20 years, has proven that entrepreneurship is the key to economic growth of a country. And you and I both know that entrepreneurship, thy name, is innovation. What do you think?
Yep. Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's tough to be an entrepreneur without an idea, right?
Otherwise, you're just replicating what somebody else has done, right? Thank God we don't need another Facebook, right?
Well, even if you do replicate, you got to do it. You know, it could be a similar idea, but you have to do it different in the sense that you're doing it better, more efficient. You're charging less money for it. You got to have some competitive advantage, right?
There's some kind of a niche. You've got to fill, and that's the beauty of capitalism, isn't it? Isn't it, Brian? Is that there's always room for another niche?
There's a room for another niche, and there's room for better ways to do things. I mean, people think entrepreneurship, and they say, "Oh, I got to have that big idea," and that's important. But if you don't have that, sometimes it's just a matter of figuring out a way to do something quicker, faster, cheaper of an existing market, and that takes creativity too. You know, and that's a big part of it. So, a lot of our work has been not just for standard stuff like new products, but it could be cost cutting or efficiency or, you know, better sales ideas, better manufacturing ideas, all of those, and we call that the total innovation enterprise, all of those are open to new ideas. It's not just new products. It's not just the big idea.
Right. Well, and you point out in your work the continuous nature of innovation, that it's not just something you do. It's really has to be who you are, doesn't it?
Well, God, I love you. I love that you said that, Jim, because, you know, some companies think, oh, yeah, well, we did our annual ideation.
We were innovative last month. What do you want from me, Brian?
we got an idea. We got a lot of ideas from this one thing we did. And I mean, oh, my gosh, it's not a one shot. It's as you said, it's part of your beingness. It should be part of your culture. It's an everyday thing because there are always ways to improve.
Right.
Particularly for the smaller business and customer experience and customer service.
But up and down your environment, right? Not only with customers, but also with vendors.
Absolutely. You know, we did some cost cutting work with a company, and we invited some of their vendors in, and we ideated together, and we came up with ideas we never would have come up with otherwise. One of them was to get, you know, to do sort of a consortium of suppliers to buy to get cheaper prices, all working together. So, Yeah. So, I mean, and as a leader, you know, that's to me, besides the vision, mission, and values, that's a critical component of leadership, is encouraging all your employees to get ideas all the time. And, you know, all my books have techniques for doing this. If the listeners say, okay, great, how do you do that? Well, go read some of my books if you want. There are dozens and dozens and dozens of different techniques you can use to get those ideas. But the leadership really has to commit to that and be always looking for new ideas. And that's hard, because new ideas are not always efficient, right?
Take away from your books, too, are the way you try to encourage people to get innovation into the culture, have an innovative culture. Talk to us about that a little bit.
Well, yeah, you know, the best leaders to me are, you know, they're idea magnets. They're always looking for ideas. I mean, Sam Walton, he'd go around and say, what ideas do you got? And his executives say, oh, that's a lousy story over the year. But he'd say, did you see that idea that I did over there? And so to me, that's an essential, critical part of leadership, is always looking for that idea and encouraging your employees to do that and taking the risk. And, of course, a lot of the ideas are not going to work, and not in any way penalizing them for that. You know, some companies, as we know, have, you know, sort of the bad idea, the worst idea of the year award, because they want to encourage people to try new things, and most of the ideas are not going to work.
If you're going to do what Brian's talking about, folks, you have to expect failure, but you have to understand failure might actually, you have to really think about failure or setbacks as successes, and you have to label them as, what did we learn, right? So we don't have to do that anymore. We discover what doesn't work. Discovering what doesn't work is valuable, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, Bill Gates, he had a quote, you know, we learn the most from what we didn't do well.
That's
because,
great.
You know, there's a reason it didn't work. And if you can push to not say, oh, just, you know, lick your wounds, but going to say, well, why didn't that work? There are insights and new ideas waiting behind those failures.
Was it you that told the story about the guy who lost $6 million for a company on a project, and he went to his boss, and he said, well, I guess you're going to fire me. He said, are you kidding me? I got $6 million invested in what you know that doesn't work. I'd be crazy to fire you now.
Yeah, that's the Tom Watson example, I think,
that's
from
it.
IBM.
Yeah.
But, yeah, absolutely. And so that really takes an enlightened leader, in my opinion, to recognize.
You got to be able
that
to do that, folks. If you really want to have an innovative culture, if you want your people to take risks within their world, within the budgets that you give them, you got to be able to say, what did we learn? Not, you're fired. Quick break, right back with Brian Matamore. Growth Engine is the name of his innovation agency. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.